Unpaved, Sean Salisbury here to bring an authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
Welcome in to Unpaved, Sean Salisbury at Sean Unfiltered on Twitter, Adam G. Sager on Twitter, and co-host of this show, Unpaved. You can go to subscribe and like on Unpaved Sean Salisbury on YouTube. All right, let me start this real quick, Sags. One is, I know this, college football is the only place in the world you can go to have no accountability. In any job, I'm not talking about sports, in any job where you can be under contract and you can flip the middle finger and go chase money. It's the only place. We're going to hit more into that. Let me start with just an ode or a thumbs up to John Harbaugh. And if it happens to Mike Tomlin after the playoffs, if it happened, these coaches that get paid a lot of money, but if you like the security of a coach, you're on crack. And we're going to discuss more of this just real quick. I want you to, some of these numbers. They've been to the playoff 12 times in 18 years. He won a Super Bowl. The last 4 years, 10-7, and Tony Dungy had marked this. I'm going off some of his numbers, too. I love coaches' posts. 10-7, 13-4, 12-5, this year, 8-9. A lot of injuries. I'm not making excuses. This production should never get a coach fired. It absolutely shouldn't get a coach fired. Yet we're going to have a guy in New York and a guy in Cincinnati that are staying at their jobs right now. And I know one's been there 1 year, one's been there a while. Because the Cincinnati Bengals are cheap and I like Zach Taylor, he's staying. The Cincinnati Bengals don't want to pay anybody any extra money. That's why cheap. But in the case of John Harbaugh, and there's a lot, I thought Raheem Morris should have kept the job. Him too. But John's been there longer, won a Super Bowl. I'll just simply say this, Segs, and we'll get rolling. With his record and what he did, this comes down to personality conflicts. This has zero to do with his production. If you're looking at the straight analytics of sports, so you want to get into coaching, huh? Yeah, I want all that money. You want all that money, but the expectations with the money and all that. You're getting fired even when you're good. John Harbaugh's record over the last 18 years, borderline great. Borderline great. And his going away, tweet and message was great. But this is pro sports and this is where we're at. It's extreme both ways. We don't have any middle ground anymore. So the speech does sometimes wear old and it gets stale for the Ravens and for teams and for the coach and like John Harbaugh. I get it. Maybe they both want to move on, whether it's fired or not. Maybe it's time, and they will be standing in line for him. He will, if he wants to, be a head coach in the NFL level again in this cycle. But with that, whether it's Lamar and him not on the same page, it's amazing. Anytime the quarterback at a team isn't on the same page as the coach gets fired, especially when he's a good player, because the players are what bring people to the stadium. But there is a mix. They usually you got to have one to have the other. We'll see how the reaction is and what happens with Lamar and Baltimore moving forward. But John Harbaugh's success should keep him higher. The relationship, whether it's coaches, players, assistants, that they're not all on the same page, what you do is you just take his balls away and cut them off and say, everybody else matters, that their opinion of you matters. And if there's not camaraderie or cohesion or what's the word, that feeling of togetherness in the building, if that's been fractured, it's time to move on from the coach. And I get it. It may work out great for them, but do not just look at success when it comes or their win-loss record when it comes to hiring and firing. Because if you didn't know anything about the Baltimore Ravens and John Harbaugh, great organization, great football coach, you would say those numbers and the coach got fired, somebody's on a crack pipe in the building.
Yep.
Yet it's the relationship stuff that we don't know the depth about it. Sitting in a meeting room, is he too, is it whatever the relationship, like a marriage, We don't know everything that goes on, but when they get divorced, we start wondering, and that's where we are with John Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's very...
It won't affect him moving forward, Sakes. I'm sorry. It will not affect him. The Raiders are not going to hire him or not hire him based on, well, did you not get along with Lamar? They got along together for quite some time, and maybe that was fractured too. But if you're a player, your empowerment, just like in college and the transfer portal, seems to be more powerful than the school, the coach, or anybody else itself. John Harbaugh, hell of a run, and it's not done yet. It'll just be somewhere else.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting move. When you hear, you're kind of hearing from all sides, and it's, you know, some are saying, oh, it's not him and Lamar. Some are saying, oh, it was all Steve Bisciotti that made this. Everybody else from Bisciotti down wanted Harbaugh to stay. There's definitely a lot of layers to this, especially when a coach after, what, 18 years or whatever it's been
18,
there, Baltimore.
18 seasons.
I mean, anytime you make that type of move, the owner's going to have the final say when you're getting rid of someone of that ilk in your organization, just like it'll be with Mike Tomlin, just like it was with Bill Cowher. You know, the coaches that stay long-term at these jobs, it really does come down to the owner and what does he feel at that time. And does he feel like it's time to make that move? Because sometimes, just like Kyle Whittingham, sometimes these coaches just feel like, okay, it's ran its course. I don't want to be that guy. And Kyle Whittingham said this on a podcast the other day. I didn't want to be that guy that felt like I was staying around too long. And maybe kind of hinted at that to Steve Bisciotti in talks with the way.
That's why we don't know, Sex. That's just that. It. We don't know the real reason.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where the Ravens go. But it'll be really interesting to see not only what teams don't have coaches right now, but what teams do have current head coaches that jump into this mix.
Right, even when the play, right. And, oh yeah, because John Harbaugh is available, now my coach becomes much easier to fire because he'll turn this thing around. And the Kyle Whittingham, John Harbaugh thing is extremely similar. Both long-term success, both highly respected by players and coaches and in the building alike. Both got to the point where even if you didn't feel like it, maybe they did feel the coach and the organization and the university felt it had run its course and got a little stale. But both of them have great coaching still in front of them, and it just was going to have to be somewhere else. So it's not that it's not a bad gig. It's a bad gig if you're not a very good head coach and you get fired after a year or two and nobody's going to hire you as a head coach again. It's a really good gig when seven teams contact you if you're John Harbaugh and Michigan wants you if you're Kyle Whittingham, knowing that, oh, that's sitting right there waiting for me. And you leave a job that you really had no intention of going anywhere else, and you've upgraded on your five-star and four-star recruits to Michigan and the money they're going to spend, even though Utah is a great place to go. Sakes, let me tell you about Augusta Precious Metals, and we'll roll on with this. I'm going to hit the – we talk about all the $1 trillion of debt and where to go and why is this and the dollar and the politics and Washington, D.C. and controlling our money. I'm just going to say something real simple to you. And Augusta Precious Metals is a great teacher and educator of this, which is number one. Two is, I don't know about you, but I want more security if and when I do retire. Hell, I don't know. I may work till I'm 100. But even then, that security over here, knowing that you made the right move with Augusta Precious Metals and having tangible assets and gold in your hands, literally. So you tell me, what's more valuable to you now? Security, peace of mind, and knowing that it's secure and that that gold is going up in value and you're not sure where your dollar's going, you're relying on DC's every move. You want to take a look at what's going on in Minnesota, California, some of these states that are stealing cold-blooded billions from people, and you want to know why you're not secure or safe in retirement, you got to work 10 years longer than your ass wanted to, just go to Augusta Precious Metals. I was late to this Precious Metals game, knew about it, but then I dived in, and you know what? I found the best in Augusta Precious Metals. But I also educated myself to understand why gold is so friggin' valuable and is going to get more valuable. It's not like somebody's going in there and trying to give you, sell you something that's stealing from you. They're trying to educate you on something that is enhancing your confidence in retirement. And even if you're not ready to retire, listen, you don't ever go broke taking a profit. Augusta Precious Metals is your answer. Text Sean, S-E-A-N, to 35052. That's Sean to 35052. Or click the link in the description and go to Precious Metals. Educate yourself because you will not regret it when you do this. You may regret the way your money gets spent, but you're not going to regret. I'm talking about your dollar and what you're doing, but you're going to get more confidence and security in retirement. We're all going to suffer from the nation's debt. We just are. So what do you want to do for security? You want to give yours away or you want to keep it? Go to Augusta Precious Metals. Text Sean to 35052. Click on that description and go figure out what I finally figured out. Don't be late to the party like I was. You can get it handled. Augusta Precious Metals. Pop on in there and get it, Segs.
Yeah, so continuing on with this John Harbaugh talk, we've got now 7 openings. We've got some really good candidates out there, but John Harbaugh obviously jumps to the top. Now, I've written down the 7 open jobs. You got the Ravens, obviously he left there. You got the Raiders, the Giants, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Titans, and the Falcons. Obviously, Harbaugh's going to make sense at every single spot just because of the coach he is. Now, I've got 3 other teams that I think 2 should no-brainer make this move if he were interested. That's the Dolphins and the Jets. If you're the Dolphins, you wanted Jim Harbaugh. You went after Jim Harbaugh. Stephen Ross went after Jim Harbaugh multiple times while he was at Michigan to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He ends up with the Chargers. Okay, what's the next best thing? John Harbaugh. You love that Harbaugh connection. Dolphins make a ton of sense if he were to say yes. If he were,
John's had a better, as much as I like Jim, John's had a better longer run as a head coach.
Yes.
He just asked. Including
beating Jim in the Super Bowl.
That's exactly right.
So the Jets, Aaron Glenn, obviously, if John Harbaugh says, yeah, you know, I'm definitely interested. I want the job. You fire Aaron Glenn and you move on. Third team. This is where it starts to get a little tricky. We've heard whispers that if they were to lose, just like the Baltimore Ravens losing, not making the playoffs, their coach could be on the hot seat a little bit. That's the Buffalo Bills with Sean McDermott. I mean, what's better than replacing Sean McDermott, who's had a good run with Buffalo, with a better head coach than John Harbaugh?
And no Super Bowl.
And no Super Bowl. And then the one I've seen, the team I've seen that – some think he should do this, and this is the NFL people talking. I don't just take fan stuff. This is NFL people talking that would shock me because they've won. They've won that Super Bowl. That's the Philadelphia Eagles with Nick Sirianni. Would you fire Nick Sirianni to get John Harbaugh? Okay. No. Okay.
That's a lot right now. I'm not saying John's not a better – John was a special teams coach under Andy there. That's how he got the gig. It's rare that a special team coach goes right from, unless you're an interim coach, goes from being a special teams guy right into being a head coach and then having that success. Doesn't mean special teams coaches aren't special, because they are, but they rarely get the look. It's like in football, you're not hiring the wide receiver coach to be your head coach before you hire the offensive coordinator. You're just not. Even though that guy may be really good and have a little more experience and be damn good, you're just not. It's the same thing here. Over the course of time, very rarely do you go get a special teams coach if that's what he does and stick him in the head coaching thing before you make him a coordinator or a middle line, you know, the inside linebacker coach or the assistant D coordinator, or the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach. So that being said, no, I'm not firing. Listen, Nick Sirianni's got some quirks and the rest of it. The dude's been there, 5 years and been to 2 Super Bowls? Come on now. I know the frustration with Philly fans and the East Coast abrasiveness with their coach and players, but – well, John's been to 2-1 and won it. Sirianni's been to 2 and won 1 and had a legitimate chance to win the second one after he's had to change coordinators 3 times. So do I think John Harbaugh's a better coach than Nick Sirianni? I do. Do I think Nick Sirianni's done a really good job with Philadelphia, whether you like him or not, or quirky and goofy?
100%.
He's done a good job. That's not the one. I'm not doing it. Now, John may have a special affinity because that's where he started with Andy. I get it. But no. So if you want to just roll one at a time quickly, to me, I'm not firing Sirianni for Harbaugh. Sorry. Right. What's John going to do better right now?
Right. 100% agree. And that's why I just kind of brought it up as the last one. Yep. Like I never agreed with it. I saw it and I was kind of like, it surprised me. So that's why I brought it up.
Roll through them, Seg. I'll give you one sentence. Why?
Let's start with Buffalo. Sean McDermott is there. They're in the playoffs. They lose this weekend. What do you do if you're the Bills?
Yeah. First off, if I'm John Harbaugh, I can't have 2 in my hand and wait for the one that may or may not come down, because you'll miss the cycle. If it was this week and John has time to go through it, I would definitely listen. Would I take right now? And the ironic thing is, McDermott was on a Philadelphia Eagles staff, and he's an Andy Reid tree guy again. The temptation of a new stadium, Buffalo, haven't won one, Josh Allen, hell yeah.
Josh Allen.
I'm not saying fire him, but I'm saying if he does, if you're John Harbaugh, stand in line for that. If they get past this round, you cannot be the Buffalo head coach. You may be able to be the Buffalo. If they still moved on, you got beat bad in the next round. You cannot wait for that because you leave it out there. You're chasing something. It may be chasing a ghost.
Agreed. Okay, let's go. We'll just stay with the ones that have current head coaches. Jets.
Always a bummer. I know John, and I love Aaron Glenn, the person. I think Aaron Glenn's a really good position coach. Did a decent job in Detroit as a coordinator. That's how I got the job. To me, the Jets got worse with him than they did with the previous head coach in Saleh, Roberts. They just did.
Yeah, right.
Now, I understand the talent blow that they're not good. But part of our expectations on quarterbacks and coaches, we say, your job is to make them better. They got worse. For a guy who is also a defensive coach, for them not to get one interception in 17 games, I'm going to tell you, that to me is the most alarming team statistic I have ever heard on defense in my entire career. Playing, coaching, in my entire lifetime. Now, maybe it sounds hyperbolic. I can't remember reading a number or seeing a number on defense. Maybe there's one on offense where they didn't rush for 100 yards in a game the whole year. I'm sure that not getting an interception or some quarterback falling back gets a tip ball drill that you didn't get one interception 17 weeks tells me you're just a shitty franchise with the fans. I can pull 11 guys out of the seats to fall into one. Right. I'm just telling you, with you and I coaching them, that's not just on Aaron Glenn. It's the position coach, defense, philosophy, bad talent, not buy-in. But if that's how you're going about it, what do you expect to get better the second year? You get a player or two? They're 10 players away from being 10 players away. I'm not sure John can fix it. I'm not sure John Madden, if he came out of the grave, would fix it. But I do know this. It is impossible to go 17 games, hit a quarterback in the mouth, and not get one interception. And you're a defensive coach. If you have a chance to hire John Harbaugh in New York, if I'm John, I wouldn't touch it with him. I'd sit out before I'd take the Jets job.
I was just going
to
ask.
I would say, I'll go to broadcasting. I'll be a family guy for a year. He's a faith and family guy. I'll be more valuable next year to another franchise than I am. I'd wait on a college coaching job instead of go to the Jets right now. Fans, nothing against you. You deserve better. The Jets organization is putrid.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure John can even win there right now, but it's impossible to do what he did. We fired a lot of people one and done. And as much as I love AG, you can't do it, man. If John Harbaugh is available, if Mike Tomlin comes available from Pittsburgh, the Jets should immediately fire their coach. So should the Bengals, and you go get Mike Tomlin right now.
Yeah.
And I would do it. But if I'm John, I'm not taking the Jets job. You don't have enough money unless you want to give me 5% equity in the team. You ain't got enough money to pay me if I'm John Harbaugh. I got other options. Screw that. No thanks.
The Miami Dolphins. If you're the Dolphins, would you make the move? If you're John Harbaugh, would you make that move?
Here's what I know. Yes, I would. And I'd put somebody else. I'd hire Mike McDaniel as a coordinator, run in a second. Brilliant mind. But there's a leadership thing I don't like, and there's a sense of softness that bugs me. I've told you a million times about the Dolphins. If you just want to change one thing in the building, you hire John Harbaugh. You'll be tougher. Your team will play tougher, and the cold and all that in South Florida, bullshit excuse. Warm weather teams in California seem to do just fine in the playoffs. Okay, I don't want to hear that, warm weather, can't play. You only can't play because it's a mindset, and their mindset is pussified. It's a pussy-ass mindset in Miami about how you approach cold weather and tough December games. If you want to shift your narrative and shift your paradigms to at least being tougher, yes, I would do it in a second, but Miami is not going to, I wouldn't think. But as you mentioned, Saints, they want a gym. You're getting a guy who's a longer-term, better version in the pro game in John. If you're John, I'd listen to it, but there still seems to be a lot of dysfunction there. I would want the general manager to be part of my help as well if I'm John Harbaugh. I can bring my guy.
Well, and that's the thing. Dolphins don't currently have a GM, so you would have that autonomy to bring your guy.
If they give it to somebody. You, if they allow you to do it. Yes.
And I think if you're going, if you're going to John Harbaugh behind the scenes, if you're back channeling to John Harbaugh, you're telling him, hey, we want you here. Who do you got in mind for a GM? Let's get that, let's get out there and let's interview him or a couple guys and let's get this done. And yeah, I mean, sorry, Mike McDaniel, you haven't done what you were brought here to do.
I got a far-fetched idea.
Tyreek's gone. I mean, his leg exploded. Jalen Waddle can't stay healthy. You have to start over if you're Miami. Getting John Harbaugh.
Didn't they start over with John Harbaugh?
Yeah.
In Baltimore? And what'd they do, 18 years later and 12 playoff appearances and a Super Bowl ring? Good place to start. And there's some talent on Miami, but they have some of their talents aging, hurt, or overpaid. Now, this is out there, and I know people, when he's been out of it and age and all that, you know who I love still as a general manager? I know we're going to get you a 30-something GM or a guy who's been doing it.
Yeah.
I know a guy who's done it. Save the age crap, because he should be a Hall of Fame front office guy too. I don't even know if he's interested, but I would call Ozzie Newsome.
Oh, yeah. He's still kind of helps out with Baltimore.
Yes. Baltimore, if Ozzie would do it, say, yeah, I'll go live in Florida and knock the shit out of this. If Ozzie Newsome, and he stays engaged, if you can talk Ozzie Newsome out of going, because John was with him a lot of years in Baltimore, and they had great success together, and convince him to go down there, and even if he didn't want the full-time GM to be a presence in my building, and he was a guy I could bring with me, he's the most underrated GM of all time in football.
Bring him in as president of football.
Go look at his first-round picks.
Oversee everything.
Yes. And then, respectful, not a self-promoter. Just goes about his business. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people that didn't know Ozzie was the GM when he was the GM kicking ass. They thought it was somebody else. Love him. Bring him with you somehow, some way, if Ozzie will do it. Because all he did was have success as a player. And the rare success of walking off the field, going into a front office, and kicking ass. Most underrated GM we've ever had at an NFL level that's had the success he had.
Yes, for sure. All right. There's talk that the Giants are – obviously have Harbaugh at the top of the list. So I don't think we need to say it about the teams that are open, obviously, besides Baltimore. The John Harbaugh is going to be at the top of the list for basically everybody, in my opinion. But the Giants are standing out with Jackson Dart, Malik Nabers. You got some cap space. You've got Scadaboo, who's coming back from injury as well. You got some defensive pieces with those edge rushers that can get after the quarterback. And you got a little bit of money to spend and some good
draft. Keep that list up there. Yep. Keep that list up there too, so I can talk about it.
What do you think about the Giants with John Harbaugh? Is that a team that John Harbaugh should be looking hard at?
Isn't it amazing the dysfunction of two New York football teams, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, right? Crazy. If both were open, if the Jets decided, well, we got a chance and we're going to fire Aaron Glenn, it's a no-brainer which one you take in that building. You're John Harbaugh, you take the Giants. Quarterback position more secure, a home run hitter at the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. Scadaboo tougher when he comes back. Better team, better defensive for better team. There's better team and better well-run organization, in my opinion. You got to tell me if the Giants are the only offer, would I take it? Yeah, because I think John is tough enough mentally to handle the shit that he'll have to go through when you lose a game in New York. I mean, he's tough enough mentally to handle the crap, and John will fire back, you know, and he'll fight back. And I think he's not overly sensitive enough that he can't handle it. We all have sensitivities, but that's the one of some of the ones of an open job. Would I listen to him yet? Of those jobs there, is it the number one job? It absolutely is not. But I'm telling you what, it's close. Why? Go through that list. Say Ravens are out of it. Jackson Dart, Cam, the Titans are an interesting one.
I was going to say that, yeah.
That to me is a sneaky good job, because I believe you can win there, and I think the right coach and right coordinator can turn Cam Ward into a star. That's intriguing. Atlanta's intriguing. But Atlanta, you know, if they go with Matt Ryan and he's a front office, Atlanta, they got money. They've got explosive offensive players. He's got a young quarterback and a veteran to deal with. So you got to start with that guy. The Cardinals, listen, I don't believe in Kyler Murray, whether he's there or not. The Arizona's, yeah, you love it. That's also a dysfunctional franchise. The Browns are out of their friggin' mind. You're going to be I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole unless I got to bring my GM with me. And of all this, guess who's still there, Sykes? The GM who's hired Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
But the Cleveland Browns fans are awesome and deserve better. The Raiders' job, well, for me as a Raider fan, that'd be my number one choice for John.
For sure.
But I got to get a lot of guarantees and a lot of you can't do this, that, and the other. I got to get a lot of freedom, because that's as dysfunctional as sometimes the Jets and others are. They should be better. And they have the first pick. If I was just saying they were the 12th pick of the draft, I wouldn't take the job. Why? because your quarterback position sucks right now. It's not any good. It's just not. So you got to go that, and now you're stuck with all this, but you do have some latitude to move with first round picks, and you got Max Crosby. That's an intriguing gig. Maybe I'm biased to that, but the Titans, Falcons, and Giants at the top of that are better than the Cardinals, Browns, Ravens as far as the job goes in my mind. Take the weather out of it and the warm weather, and where you think you can win the quickest. Jackson Dart's a player. I believe Cam Ward's going to be a player. And Atlanta, Penix, and I can find that, and I got weapons. And that's a good gig, a good place, a great sports town. So the three at the top, to me, are far better jobs than the three, four, five, and six, Cardinals, Browns, Raiders.
Atlanta is very interesting because, like Miami, if they were to fire Mike McDonald, that GM job sits open now. Right. And that gives him that little bit of extra bargaining power when he walks in there, if he interviews with Atlanta, to say, okay, yeah, I'm interested. I like what you got, Drake London, Bijan. You got some pieces. But you got that GM job sitting open. I want my guy.
Well, the president of football ops. Me. Does he trust that Matt Ryan will give him the right people with no experience?
Right.
If so it is Matt Ryan.
It's definitely interesting as far as John Harbaugh goes. We'll continue talking about the coaching carousel in the NFL here in just a little bit. But we got to switch stories here, Sean, to what developed yesterday when it comes to the transfer portal. In college football, we've talked about this daily because we get crazy stories every day about the transfer portal, kids leaving, kids getting money, kids getting, you know, Brendan Sorsby's getting more money with Texas Tech and the $5 million that he reportedly got in his one-year deal than Shadur is getting in his entire rookie contract.
Well, Shadur Sanders is a fifth-round draft or fifth-round draft pick. Do I think that Sorsby along the way may end up being a better player? Maybe. And Shadur showed me something these last few. He did at times. Yeah. He had a lot to learn on a bad offensive team. But now do the first. And now do Jackson Dart. Okay.
Right.
The guy's a fifth-round pick. Should he be making more than a pro or the coach that's coaching Shadur Sanders in the quarterback room? This guy makes more than the guy who's coaching Shadur Sanders and Deshaun Watson in the quarterback room. He makes more. Tommy Rees is not making – it is Tommy Rees, right? The coordinator.
Yeah, yeah.
Tommy Rees isn't making that same amount of money. That's you know that as well as I do, Segs. So, but fifth round pick, a little more understandable with the way the portal is. Should it be like that? Hell no. We can continue the conversation.
So, but yesterday, a major story opened up, and it's all that's wrong with the NIL era, the transfer portal era. Damon Williams, quarterback at Washington. Good player. I wouldn't say great player. Has talent. Can use his legs. Has a decent arm. Can make plays. He signed with Washington. And I was going crazy yesterday as I'm reading this come out. I'm like, I swear he just signed the other day. But maybe I – and then I convinced myself I was wrong that he didn't sign. Well, he had. He signed for reportedly $4 million a few days ago to stay at Washington. Well, through some back channeling, Lane Kiffin and LSU have been talking to different quarterbacks, as we know, and Damon Williams is one of them. Reportedly offered him $6 million to come to LSU. What happens yesterday? Damon Williams enters the transfer portal after already signing his NIL contract with Washington with a do not contact tag, which means basically my team's picked. I know where I'm going. Don't contact me. Reports are it's LSU. Reports are ranging anywhere from $5 to $6 million that he was offered. Now, I don't.
Do Sam Levitt with Lane Kiffin?
Yes, well, and then and then you have Lane Kiffin and Sam Levitt, the transfer from Arizona State, sitting at a LSU basketball game, sitting right next to each other. And while this is all coming out, and there's multiple videos of Sam Levitt on his phone, you know, he could have been looking at Twitter and seeing, oh, you know, hey, coach, what the hell's going on here? This is saying Damon Williams is coming to LSU. Well, I'm fucking sitting right here next to you. You're trying to get me to come to LSU. This is the dirty side of college athletics that a lot of people don't want to see, don't want to hear about. And this has been going on for a long time. Don't get us wrong. But now it's wide open out in the out in the open when it comes to all this seedy money exchanging hands, backroom deals. Oh, I don't care if you signed. I want you to come here anyways. And it shows us that LSU under Lane Kiffin is going to be scummy. They've been scummy before, and Lane Kiffin's been scummy everywhere he's been. And he obviously, Leopard doesn't change his spots. He's the same guy. He doesn't care who does what. But it's also a bigger indictment of just college football overall, college athletics overall right now in this NIL era.
You said this is the dirty part of college football. I got news for you. What's the, where's college football clean anymore?
Right. No, none.
This is the norm in college football. This is no longer that shocking. Now, this one even takes the cake for now we're at this level. We could do a two-hour show based on this quarterback, the other quarterback, and Lane Kiffin. Now, it pains me at times to have to do what I do, but I've done it with friends and family, not sell them out, but different opinion where I like somebody but still have to put it right on the table, dude. And I don't shy from that, and I don't give a shit what anybody thinks, okay? Is one, you cannot tell me, first of all, the Washington quarterback, it's the only place in the world. Take your job, whatever job you're in at your company that you have a contract. You can't do this. You can't. We went from one extreme of not paying the kids a dime, which they deserve, right, jersey sales and all that, to skipping everything from 1 to 10. We skipped 2 through 9, yeah, and got to 15. They didn't even top and pass go for 10 and grab $200 and went to the extreme 15 the other way, where now you can do whatever you want in college sports. The NCAA, you're a bunch of pussies. You just are. You have no power to stop anybody from doing anything. You allowed this. The grown adults allowed this, and the kids aren't smart enough not to take – the kids are smart enough to take advantage of, not smart enough to know at some point in time it's going to hit them across the face. But in the meantime, the rules say I can get paid. Make it all. Milk them as much as you can because they've milked you. But there's no other place in the world this goes on. Well, Sean, coaches can do it. No, they can't. They can if you pay the $15 million buyout.
Right.
Which leads me, and I'm going to get to this Kiffin and Leavitt situation, Segs, and Damon Williams. That I said it a year ago, and I'm going to tell you again. If the kid can put a price tag on money in the university, what he wants, it's time for the universities to put a price tag on the kid's head. Meaning this, we offer the guys under contract. I don't have to grant him. I wouldn't let Williams leave. Although and I want
now,
to leave.
Washington right, has not.
They're going to fight back, right? I wouldn't let him leave, back. But here's the problem with that. I really don't want him as part of the program if he can be bought for an extra million. I'd say get his ass out. I can find him anywhere. They're all replaceable. Some are better than others. At some point in time, Mendoza at Indiana, when he goes to pros, do you know their coach is going to find a good player? He just is, because he's found good players all the time. They were playing. We all think when we're at his age, and like I did, this is the number one quarterback in the country, you can't win without me. Well, yeah, we actually can. John Robinson said it in my living room. Said this story before. Maybe you haven't heard it. At the last recruiting day, just before I signed, he said, we want you here. You're our top priority, and we're going to put you in a position to compete and win and play against the best. But if you don't come to USC, now he's talking to a guy, and I don't mean it arrogant, was the number one in the country. And he looked at me and he said, in my family, and he said, if you don't come to USC, we're still showing up on Saturdays and we're still going to win. Now, we didn't have NIL then, but it was just kind of a different form of NIL. And they didn't give me a dime at SC to sign there. That's the promise. I can say whatever, I promise you. But when he said that, I looked around and my dad says, I guess you want to be a part of that when Coach Robinson left. And Paul Hackett, who was the coordinator at the time. I'm like, damn. So that's the real part of it, Segs, is that Damon Williams, the part of me wants to say, if I'm Jed Fish, we don't want you, man. Kind of like what Tennessee did with Nico, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's similar, but not, he would sign. So with this situation, kid's a good player and the rest of it. I think there's better quarterbacks in the transfer portal. I do. I think he's a good
Sam
player.
Sam Leavitt's better.
I do too. And it's such a dirty business now, and it is a business. So while I want the kid to get paid, we've gone the other extreme. There's got to be happy. I wouldn't let him out. I'd make him suffer through it and miss out on this cycle because he committed to us. But think about it now. You can do it. You can't do this in pro football. Sean, yeah, you can. Coaches do it all the time. Yeah, if you have a buyout and they pay the $15 million, you can. You just have to get up and walk out of the building and say, overnight, I'm leaving you without there being consequences and accountability. We need to put it on. I would have, once he signed, put a $4 million. We should be allowed. Oh, for $4 million, now the NCAA, let's institute this. If you want him, LSU, and he wants to leave, the buyout is $4 million on him. So you pay us $4 million, and then you can pay him $5 million. So it's costing you $9 million. If you want to do that, fucking take him. I'll find somebody worth $3 million better than him. Because I promise you, as a quarterback evaluator, I can find somebody that can do what he can do. I can find somebody who can do what Sam Levitt can do. I can find somebody that can do what Dylan Raiola can do. I don't mean to lump them on, but I can. Yeah. So you've committed. So that tells me that this, it's now, I don't blame them for wanting the money. The rules say go get it. But do you think Damon Williams is all in if he ends up coming back to Washington? Don't you think he's going to be playing saying, bullshit, I threw five touchdowns last week. I should be. Don't you think that human nature kicks in? And on the other side, as much as I love my guy Lane Kiffin, Lane's all the poster child for who we love now. He's also the poster child for, if you want the portal done different, Lane's the face of it right now. He just is. And I know, listen, I love LSU. I love it. Hell, I've been on the campus and in the coaches' offices and the rest of it. Love him. But if Lane was doing this at Ole Miss with this, if this situation occurred at Ole Miss, let's just say the same situation, but he was still there, LSU fans would be beside themselves over this. Just like Ole Miss fans are probably going to flip them off and hate it, right? So the point is, the rules allow it, but it can't be any more Bush League or chicken shit. If I'm Sam Levitt and this is true, I'd have walked out at halftime and left. There's other places that can use Sam Levitt. Plenty of them. And he's a good player. So to me, we got to start, not a bounty, we got to put a price on every kid's head. You can't just jump in and steal my guy. You can't be under contract with me. In the real world, you get litigated over this shit. I can't walk away from a job. Matter of fact, in a morning show job like I was doing 790, if you're not in the job or they move on or don't want to pay, I can't. It's a non-compete. You can't even work in the area for 6 months. This, you can make your money, commit, sign a contract, the next day leave. Now, Washington is going to fight him over this. But he can literally get up and leave and say, don't contact me. I'm going to get $6 million. And if I'm LSU, if somebody offers him $7 million, he'll leave for that job, just like most of them would. So while I'm not even using loyalty's out the window. We don't need fucking loyalty from coach to player, player to coach, organization, any of them. But anybody that thinks this is right and good is wrong. College football's the worst it's ever been. I'm not saying the talent's the worst. The business side of college football couldn't be worse until you see this and it's worth. I love Lane Kiffin. I'd want to interview him too. But if you're talking about you want something, if you want him or anybody else, and if you're a recruit and I'm involved in the college coaching and high school stuff, I'm going to look you in the camera. This doesn't go for everybody, but it goes for a lot. If you're a recruit or a family member or an assistant coach or a coach or anybody dealing with coaches, and I love them, but there's a lot of coaches that will pee in your face and tell you training. If you just trust their word, you're fucked. Because they're telling you you're the guy. And you could be sitting next with a guy at the game. You thought you were the guy, and then the guy who's in Washington is the guy. And then you could tell a recruit, you're our guy. We're not going to recruit anybody next year. The next year rolls around, they're telling the five-star, he's the best guy we've ever had. We'll do it again. So if you are not seeing the forest through the trees and you're going with loyalty, I trust the coach's word, you're a dumbass. As a 17-year-old kid, as a 21-year-old kid, as a grown adult parent, if that's what you're going, you can't even sign a contract and trust that they're doing the right thing for you, meaning the player or the coach, either way. Right. They both move on and do things. Put a price tag on these kids' head now, not on their head to get hurt, on their head to be able to transfer. You signed a contract, you're under contract, you want to leave, we have to approve it, one. Secondly, there's a buyout, $4 million for a quarterback. You're getting six to go. Here's a $4 million buyout. So now it's going to cost you $10 million, LSU. Four to us, we get rewarded for you screwing us over and us breaking this contract.
Right.
Can't do it anywhere else in the world. Why the hell would I let a kid do it? That kid is going to walk into LSU, and he'll be the second or third highest paid person in the building. In the building.
It's crazy.
The offensive coordinator at the most is going to make what? Charlie Weiss here, $5 million?
Roughly, probably.
He's got 2 years eligibility left? So it's a $6 million. Is it 2 years? So let's say it's a $6 million deal for 2 years. Let's just say that. Fair enough. $3 million a year. Let's just say that. If that's the case, is $6 million. Who on that staff outside of Lane Kiffin is making $3 million a year? Matter of fact, maybe the highest paid employee, not entrepreneur, employee, one of the five high in the state, $3 million. If it's 2 years, $6 million bucks. He's making more money than any coach on that staff but Lane Kiffin. He ain't that good. Sorry to tell you. He's not that good. And if I'm Washington, my decision is, now that he's done this, I know why he's here. Good player. I'm sure he's a good kid. Yeah. Take advantage of the rules because the rules suck. The adults suck. The NCAA blows. The college football, great talent, fun watch. And by the way, having the game 7 more weeks ahead of time, I'm being hyperbolic. It's losing its luster, too. I don't care what anybody says. The championship, all that. It's too long. Get it done. This is LSU and Lane. If you think Lane's done with the transfer portal, you're out of your friggin' mind. They're going to do what allows the rules to do and push it to the brink and jump over them at times, as will a bunch of other people. It's a dirty business, and it's not getting any cleaner.
Yeah, you said it, that we have to start putting buyouts on these kids. I mean, it's if you, you know, sign a kid to a $10 million NIL deal coming out of high school, if the school wants to come get him, you have to pay 75%. Let's just say that. Well, you know,
screw that. I'm putting it on. You got paid. So we're putting it on. Let the school decide.
Whatever it is.
You got a salary cap. Right.
Yes.
Hey, $4 million on our starting quarterback, man. It's important to our national championship. They went and plucked him after he signed with us. So, no. It'll call LSU. Lane, guess what? So you tell me. Now they've got to get back to the decision saying, Sam's got a $3 million buyout. DeMond's got a $4 million buyout. What do we want to do? We're offering them both $6 million. What do we do? Just like regular free agency, buddy. Now you're in a buy, or you want to steal a coach? You got to pay. You got to pay the friggin' price. And now we'll start to see what the real commitment is, not only for the kid, but for that. And if the kid is bummed about it, find another place to play, dog. Yeah. Get into the portal and go play somewhere else. Sorry. You don't get to move for free whenever you decide. We have given them too much autonomy. And if I'm Washington, I fight it. But then if I'm Washington, I think, well, first off, the kid, in my opinion, if he doesn't win the Heisman, they don't win the national championship. If he goes to LSU and they don't win it, overpaid. Period. Yeah. Overpaid. So, well, how'd Washington do in the playoff?
Oh, they weren't in it.
Oh, okay. So, but if I'm the kid, my character would tell me that I'm not jumping after I sign for next. I'm just telling you, mine would be different. But I'm not saying he may have a high character, maybe a great kid, but he's not all in at Washington.
No.
And he won't be in all at LSU if all of a sudden, let's just say Kyle Whittingham for fun. Let's say Underwood left.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle said, man, I've seen that guy play. I got to have him on win. Offer him $8 million. Portnoy, call up your people who can get people. Offer him $8 million. We'll give him 2 years for $4 million. You think he's staying at LSU?
No.
Okay.
See ya.
Rest my case. Neither would Sam Levitt. I can't put it on Sam because I don't know. But if I'm Sam Levitt and I heard that while I was sitting next to Lane Kiffin, I give the Irish goodbye. I say, I'm going to run up to the restroom and my ass is out of the building if I know it's true. Pete Thamel's a pretty fair. There's some guys out there pretty damn reputable, right?
Yeah.
They do these articles? Yeah. Nah. The college football's dirtier than the IOC right now.
I mean, look at.
You do the math.
Look at our final four teams. Miami, Carson Beck started at Georgia, transferred to Miami. Trinidad Chambliss. Now he did it the more conventional way. Started at Ferris State, transferred to Ole Miss.
Yeah, he had to go through the friggin' grind.
That one I'm not.
I don't have one problem with the way that kid did it.
Fernando Mendoza, Cal to Indiana, and then Dante Moore started. Well, let's see. He committed to Michigan. Then committed to USC, then ended up at UCLA. Oh, and now he's at Oregon. So, I mean, it's just, it's every, I mean, going back years.
That's why recruiting is so bad now, Segs. If you're a high school recruit, you're going to get left out if you're not getting out in front of it 3 years ahead of time. Right. Because, well, they're going into the portal for experience.
Looking back years, I mean, last year, Will Howard transferred from Kansas State to Ohio State. Year before,
Riley Leonard was Duke.
Yep. I mean, Joe Burrow, Ohio State to LSU. I mean, there's a few in there with some of those Georgia quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy, who went to their school, stayed, fought for their job, and then went on to win a national championship. But it's a business where there is no loyalty anymore. And that's where, you know, fans have to. And we see it. There's not as much excitement around National Signing Day when you sign these big recruits. When you sign, you know, like we talked about the top kid in the 26 or 27 class, whichever one it is, that committed to Ohio State and then said, yeah, but I'm still going to visit other places. I'm still going to go on dates with everybody else. Now, I'm not married. I mean, and that's the thing. Nobody, coaches included, are married to these schools. You just have to be a fan of your school. Don't hitch your wagon to any of these players or coaches anymore. That's the thing that sucks.
The problem is everybody now is just attracted to one thing. Cash before winning. The approval of somebody else before winning, and then winning kind of fits in there, right? And I don't want to put them all in because, like, a Joe Burrow transfer, and I'm glad Isaiah said this too. Burrow got beat out, wasn't playing at Ohio State, wanted a chance, transferred, played great, was the first pick of the draft. That's how transfer portals are supposed to work.
Yeah.
You go, you're not getting a chance, you go play. Or if you've played your 4 years and Duke doesn't want Riley Leonard anymore, they got a kid they want to play that they don't want to transfer and they think they'll be better, you say, you're graduating from school, have at it. Senior transfer, Notre Dame, man, we need a veteran. Come on in here with experience and play and light it up, bam, and now get a chance and look pretty damn good this last weekend with playing for the Colts. Got a little bit of a future, I think. Right. He's put up a little bit of a score. So that's the way to do it. The way to not do it, it should simply not be allowed. You can't sign a contract and just up and leave the next day and go to the portal. You've already signed it without paying it. I'd put a salary cap on the portal. I would put a price on every player's head in the portal. And I would put the number of times you can transfer. More than once, you have to sit out, period. I don't care when you do it. Well, it's about the kids. No, it's not. It's not about unless the kids because the kids aren't making it about the kids. The kids are making it about the money. So treat them like they're adults and treat them like they're pros and treat them like they're a professional because they get more latitude now than professionals do. We are giving them more leeway and latitude than any pro player in any sport has right now. And they haven't. Some of them haven't pissed a drop. Some of them have not pissed a drop in this league, and the majority of them will not be starting on Sundays in the NFL.
If I'm a top-ranked quarterback coming out of high school, I'm at the point now where unless it's a Bryce Underwood situation where Michigan is telling you, we're giving you all this money, and you're going to start. Like, you're in that situation, you're going to start. I'm not looking at the big schools anymore. I'm going to go somewhere middle, you know, level, and I'm going to go tear it up as a true freshman. And then these teams are going to throw gobs of cash at me. And that's going to be kind of the new thing, I think, for these top quarterbacks. Yes, there'll be some that go to the big schools, but I mean, if you're smart, you go to a Tulane or a James Madison, you tear it up and then you have the college experience now.
You're invaluable, dude.
Gift to these college coaches that have all this money to spend.
You know what else I want, Sakes? We saw this kid's if he's able to pull this off and leave and go without consequence.
Mm-hmm.
I want. Let's say he goes there and LSU's 1-3, and he's struggling, playing decent football. But we saw. Well, Nussmeier went through a little bit of that this year, right? We see it happen all the time. Guy, you go in and get. Isn't quite what you think. Carson Beck. Carson Beck was a first-round draft pick coming out of Georgia when he was playing and they were winning. Then he lost his job, got hurt, lost his job, and now he's at Miami in the Final Four and done a nice job. But he's not going to get drafted in the first round. That being said, why can't I as the coach? Well, we guaranteed your contract at Washington. You left, so now you're at LSU. You signed with us, you're guaranteed. But you can up and leave when you want. So – you're 1-3, dude, and we are paying you this kind of money. You're not performing. I'm, you know what? We're cutting you. If you want to stay and go to school with your money, you can pay for school. But now that you've made all this money, you know, we already paid you for the first year. We're going to cut you. The backup played better than you. Now we're 3-0 with the backup, and you were 1-3, and we beat 3 SEC teams. Well, we want to cut you. We owe you, and you negotiate a small percentage. Why can't you cut the kid? Well, you're doing the kid dirty. Can't cut him. You committed to him. Oh, that's rich. But he can do it to Washington. Well, Sean, the coach, Washington can leave. Nah, he can't leave unless there's a buyout cost of money. Put money on their head. You got to buy out. You got to pay the school if the kid transfers. You make the transfer portal absolutely has a salary cap on it. And number three, you give me the ability if the kid's not living up to the money and the expectations, I can cut his ass. And if he wants to stay in school, he pays for his own. He's got the money. If he wants to just quit, fine, stay in school, go be a fraternity guy and do your thing. Otherwise, I can cut you. And guess what? We'll give you a percentage, kind of like we do in the pros. If you haven't got a number of games in, you're out. The next guy's in, and man, he only made $100,000 in NIL. What a bargain. And you know what? As much as I love the kid, and I've championed kids' causes all the time, if you rob Peter, you better be prepared to your ass to pay Paul. And that's the way I look at it. They're grown adults now, man. I got no sympathy for them. None. They get paid.
One quick other layer to this is the fact that Desmond Williams, I keep wanting to call him Desmond, but it's Damon Williams. Ross Dellinger from Yahoo Sports reports that there was a provision in his NIL contract that prohibited him from entering the transfer portal. He does it. But the last little wrinkle to this is Damon Williams did this last night, right in the middle when all his teammates, coaches, Big Ten officials were at the celebration of life for the Washington Huskies women's soccer player that lost her life.
Yeah. Nice time. He what a class move, huh? There. Look yes. at me. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just another just scummy part to this story of,
you know what Elaine I do?
Pippen, the LSU, the Damon Williams. Oh, now you're going to do it during this celebration of life for a form or for a athlete in your same school's pool of athletes. It's
if he has to stay insane. Well, isn't that conduct detrimental? Didn't he do something illegal? And I'm not talking about the post and all that when he announced it.
Yeah.
They say there's a provision in his contract, and Dellinger, I think, won Writer of the Year as well, won an award just yesterday or 2 days ago. Very good at what he does. If that's the case, you basically broke a team law, not just rule, right? You can't do it. Okay. So why can't I cut his pay?
Yeah.
And if I'm an NIL person that's going NIL that he's doing a commercial for it, I want to disassociate myself with him. So my $1 million, I'm not giving it to him anymore. We're not doing that anymore because they're not feeding the collective. What stops from doing that? I normally champion a kid's cause, but when it comes to this, I can't. And I don't create in college football. I don't champion either side's cause now. I mean, I'll champion a cause to get them there and to help them get there. But I'm talking about when those decisions come up, I'm not telling you what you do, whether it's transfer or whether the coach is supposed to leave if I'm his agent. You decide that. We'll help you any way we can. But this is just – college football has become an embarrassment.
Yeah,
rules wise.
For example, remember the story we did? A month or two ago, Troy Aikman came out and said he gave $4 million or whatever the money was to a quarterback that was coming in, incoming freshman. And we all figured it was Dante Moore at UCLA. What if you're a former Washington quarterback, Jake Locker, and you or Michael Penix with Chris the Falcons Stewart. Now? Yeah, Chris Rock Chandler. Stewart. Yeah. Somebody gave $2 million of the four they were given to him. And you're just like, screw this kid. My money's coming back. I'll give it to, let's go get Sam Levitt or, you know, let's replace him with one of these guys. So it's just, it's crazy. It's crazy. And we're going to learn more about this story as it continues. We're going to hear from Sam Levitt, I'm sure, at some point. We're going to hear from Damon Williams. We're going to hear from Lane Kiffin. Somebody will have a story out about him. And then Jed Fish and company are going to be loud as they can be.
And they should be.
This story. Yes.
And they absolutely should be. And I'll tell you this. Let's not alleviate and take away any responsibility from Lane Kiffin. Lane's at the center of this.
100%.
He knows exactly. Lane is smart. I love him. But he is smart and understand. He knows exactly what he's doing. You know what that's called, Segs? Hedging your bet.
Yeah.
In the gamble, you hedge your bet. If I don't get one, I get the other. But in the process of hedging it, you may lose two of them. How's that grab you? You may lose both. Sam may say, no, dude, that's not for me. Two bad games, and you bench me. And if you're John Williams and they don't let you transfer, now you're screwed.
At Ole Miss. Yeah.
There you go.
So, I mean,
good on Chambliss. I'd stay there too.
Yeah.
Good on him.
You could be looking, and that's where you want these type of situations to end up. You want LSU without a quarterback, at least for the moment. You want them panicking, saying, oh, where do we go next? All right, a couple more things before we get out of here. Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury, part ways. Kind of surprising. Jaden Daniels will be coming back off all the injuries, hopefully healthy coming into next year. But now he'll be looking for an offensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator with the Commanders. Do you get this from Cliff Kingsbury's standpoint, even if he doesn't get a head coaching gig? Because then where do you end up if you're Cliff Kingsbury? I know there's openings. John Morton was fired in in Detroit. So maybe you could go there with Jared Goff. You mentioned Kansas City. If Matt Nagy gets
Matt Nagy leaves, or if Spagnuolo, I mean, he's not a defense, but I'm talking about if they change the coordinators and Matt Nagy leaves, there you go. Well, there'll be a lot of places that want Cliff Kingsbury's offensive mind, and he's a very brilliant play caller. You're going to be finesse. I can tell you that. You're more than likely going to be a finesse offense if you're going to throw it all over the lot. Unless you got Derrick Henry, then, because I know Cliff and the guys that run that system, they want to run it. But more importantly, I just want to ask you this. Okay, he left. Now, I understand people are disappointed, the rest of it. I'm actually surprised that there was a parting of ways, because you got a great quarterback to grow with if you can keep him healthy. And Washington doesn't need a full retooling to get him back. They were good last year. Injuries, they weren't very good this year. They got to get it back up. So whatever the reasons are. But when I hear all this, oh, Cliff Kingsbury should be in the head coaching cycle. Why? What's he done?
I don't get that.
Well, I mean, I like him, and I think Cliff's a hell of a coach and a bright mind. But not everybody's bright mind is ready for a head coaching gig again. Now, he may be great the second time around. There was some impact early on with the Cardinals. But what tells me, of all the people in the cycle, that Cliff Kingsbury left a really good offensive coordinator job where they fired him either way or a mutual agreement? Tell me why Cliff Kingsbury should be at the top of the head coaching cycle.
He shouldn't.
Now, if you told me, Sean, would you like him as Tennessee's offensive coordinator? Hell yeah. Love it. I know I'm going to get production. But what tells – well, we got to – why? Because he was a successful offensive coordinator 1 year. I'm talking about last – he's been successful in more places, college, NFL. We know he knows – I'd love him back at USC. Be great.
Right.
But I can tell you that I don't know why all of a sudden we've just determined that Cliff Kingsbury is a top-ranking head coach candidate. Sorry, I can name 10 I'd probably rather have sooner.
Yeah, let me run through some quick candidates just real fast, yes or no. Would you rather have Cliff Kingsbury or Jesse Minter?
As a head coach?
As a head coach. These are all head coach candidates.
Minter. Joe Brady. That's 6-1, half dozen the other. Cliff's done what Joe Brady's doing.
Right, but
– and I don't know what Brady's –
we've never seen Joe Brady as a head coach. We've seen Cliff Kingsbury. We've seen him struggle as a head coach.
Right, right. So you're always – we're always –
Joe Brady's the unknown.
Experience the second time around may be better for Cliff, but we're always intrigued with the guy we haven't seen yet. But exactly. As far as just on the level, lateral move. Great offensive minds don't know what they bring as a head coach overall.
Kevin Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year.
Better than both of them. Stefanski be hired – 10 times before Cliff Kingsbury or Joe Brady right now, just on performance alone and the way people discuss him, he has done some good things as a coach in this league.
Brian Flores. And take away all the bullshit surrounding him, just as a head coach.
Forget it. As a coach, now he jumps into what quite possibly may be the best candidate of the guys you've mentioned.
And then Jeff Hafley, who is
the Packers
defensive coordinator, done a good job. Opinions seem to be split a little bit among Packers fans about him, but
for me, listen, he left the head coaching job at Boston College to be the defensive coordinator, and it's paid dividend. He's done a good job.
Yeah.
You can win more at Green Bay than you can on the national level at Boston College. Simple. But I can tell, unless Doug Flutie wants to come back and take care of that, but I'm not ready to commit my franchise to Hafley just yet. I'm just not. Stay as a defensive coordinator. It's kind of like, Ben, I need another year of this before I consider him as a head coach. I'd take Spagnuolo as a head coach before I'd take Hafley if he became available.
There, and the one, I think, thing we have to watch, and it all depends on this weekend. If Chicago beats Green Bay, there's been whispers. There's been talk from NFL people about Matt LaFleur. And could he possibly be out in Green Bay? Now, if that happens, again, now you have another guy on the Harbaugh level that teams will sprint to go higher, in my opinion.
I'm telling you now, if the Packers are that stupid, if the Packers front office is dumb enough, after all his success, even though, he's got the one Super Bowl with Rodgers, correct? Was he coaching him? Yeah, the one. No. He was the coach. No, it wasn't him. It was He came in after that. Who was the head coach when Rodgers won? Who was their head coach when Rodgers won his first Super Bowl? Because I don't think LaFleur wasn't there yet. Who was the head coach? Was it Holmgren won it with Favre? Who the hell
McCarthy.
Is this?
Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy. He got his first Super Bowl. And Mike is in the head coaching cycle this time around, too. His name's being mentioned.
Which?
I was saying, where the hell am I doing here? Mike won it with Rodgers.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what we were saying about John Harbaugh. All the winning and all that stuff, even though he doesn't have a Super Bowl, he's won a lot. The top two coaches in the coaching cycle would then be Harbaugh and Matt LaFleur. If the Packers are dumb enough to fire him, Matt LaFleur is a guy you would also fire a current head coach for that's under contract to get him coaching. Green Bay cannot be that. There's nobody better for Green Bay on the market right now than the guy they got, and I'm including John Harbaugh. John's that's 6-1, half dozen the other. Both really good. John's a little more experienced at it, but nah, I'm not firing Matt LaFleur. I think he'd be an idiot to do it.
Think about this. We could, and this is based off NFL people talking, we could see the Packers, you know, whispers they could fire LaFleur if they lose to the Bears this weekend. Mike Tomlin, that's a loud whisper that if the Steelers lose, he could be done, kind of in the Jim Harbaugh same scenario. And then Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills. Those three guys get fired. Now you're coaching cycle is overflowing with great candidates. Well, it goes from there's not much to really like to
bingo.
Holy shit, we got a treasure trove of
and
candidates.
You do have a guy in Mike McCarthy who's got a Super Bowl ring. Yeah. Even if you threw him in it, but think about the five. You just Stefanski, Harbaugh, McDermott,
Tomlin.
Tomlin, and what was the last one? Say you had one more. Matt LaFleur. All five should be considered a head coach elsewhere before an assistant coach.
Immediately. That's
before Joe Brady, before Cliff Kingsbury, before Flores might be the one that would trump somebody, in my opinion, if you can cut through what happened in Miami to say coaching and leadership and demands. But all five of those guys, if they want it, if Mike Tomlin wants another job, if Pittsburgh fires him, first off, you are the coach. You want Pittsburgh organization because you know you're good for at least a decade. Three coaches in like 8 million years. You're going to be the if you talk about loyalty, Pittsburgh's pretty damn loyal to their coaches. Mm-hmm. But if they do let Mike Tomlin go, Mike Tomlin will be a head coach as soon as he wants to be.
Yeah.
And that's fair. But that becomes a great coaching cycle, head coaching cycle, if all those happen. Things, at least guys that you know are experienced. And sometimes the second time around is better than the first for these head coaches because they understand the grind is different as a head coach.
And then our last thing that ties in with our bet of the day, as we always do every single day, Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson says he's going to enter the NFL draft. Are you surprised? With the way this season ended, that middle part of the season, he was fantastic. The last, I don't know, six games, whatever it was like that offense. And I know he didn't have much of a running game, but it fell off a cliff, and then it ended with a face plant against Indiana.
Segs, I think had he played the way he did the first 5 or 6 weeks, he should leave because he would have been a first-round pick, in my opinion. And I've watched a lot of his football. Mm-hmm. But secondly, after this fall off, the last thing they're going to look through it, but they're going to say as the season went on, he didn't get better, he got worse, regardless of who's around him. It's not like Alabama has hacked football players. They were shitty in the playoff. Again, in that game, they got beat. And is it the fact that he and – I almost would have said that he's going into the portal before he goes into the NFL.
Honestly, that's what I thought when I saw it pop up.
Right.
I thought it was going to say
me too.
And it said draft.
Agreed. Went ahead. So to me, is he a top 10 or 15 pick? Maybe somebody that falls in love with him like Jackson Dart, who was extremely productive too. He was a transfer, obviously, from SC. But right now, as we sit today, if he's in the draft, he's not a first-round pick. Now, we know, Segs, that guys rise and fall in shorts and a T-shirt in front of coaches throwing for them on a day or at the combine in their pro workout. But his value's gone down. I would have loved to see him one more year experience because how many years of starting does he have, Segs?
One.
I would love one more. We've seen the movie before. Well, Sean, Mendoza had one. Yeah, but Mendoza had a better year, and he's going to be the first or second or third pick of the draft. I think this kid's a really good player. I think he can use one more year. I really thought it was transfer portal instead of Alabama. Then I'm thinking, why would you're the guy at Alabama? Yeah. Why would you leave that program? And maybe there's something going on that the offensive structure or Kalen DeBoer, the end is what's going on with that whole situation. How long is he going to be there? We know he's going to be there one more year. Since, you know, he gets one more year out of it, the quarterback. Maybe he's got some report that says I'm going to be a, or maybe he doesn't care that he's a second round or a third round pick. He doesn't look the last 4 or 5 weeks or 3 weeks like a top 10 pick for me. Otherwise, I'd have stayed in school because he's probably got a lot of money he can make at Alabama.
And I mean, Mendoza did play quite a bit at Cal, which I think helps the NFL.
Sure. Talk more experience.
See this. The only QBs with 15 or fewer starts who went in the first round over the last decade, which Ty Simpson would fall into this category. Anthony Richardson, well, that didn't work out very well. Mitchell Trubisky, that didn't work out very well. And Dwayne Haskins.
God rest his soul.
God rest his soul, from Ohio State. And that hadn't worked out. He was on a second team.
So I believe can't treat them all the same, Segs. Some are late bloomers. Some need a different change of vein. We've seen it with Darnold. We saw it with Geno Smith. Guys who went somewhere else and became players, right? But in this case, would you risk knowing that and then watching his fall off the last handful of weeks, regardless of the running game and the rest of it, would you spend a top five, top 10 pick on him right now?
I need more. I saw one of the I think it was maybe Jordan Reed from ESPN, the draft guy. He compared his draft value to him right at this moment as Ty Simpson was entering the draft to Tyler Shuck last year, early second round.
Couldn't agree more. And now, there you're getting value. A first-round talent with first-round ability that maybe because of a couple transfers didn't win a championship, so, but you get him in the right situation with a good coach. Now we're seeing that Tyler Shuck is a first-round pick. He is. And now that may be the same way. I think they're, after the first round, great value right today. Now he may come in and play his ass off in a pro system right away. But if I'm picking, I'm the front office guy, the head coach, you're saying, Sean, you want this guy or the edge rusher from Miami, right? Now, we need both. Give me the more sure thing, and that would be the edge rusher.
Reuben Bain.
I'll take Bain in 2 seconds flat over that. So, but I do love Simpson. I just think it's premature for him to think he's a top 10 pick or anybody else right now. Somebody may take a flyer. I wouldn't, as we said today.
We'll see, because as you said earlier, the NFL draft is not quite 4 months away. There is plenty time for some GM to talk himself into Ty Simpson, or his draft stock start to rise as they dive deeper into his early starts and see what he did really well and all this stuff. I don't think he'll be a first-round pick. I like that second-round pick. Maybe he falls to the third range right now, but we'll see. We'll see what it does, because
– yeah, Sags, you're 100% correct. Mike, right here, one of our – I swear these teams use Kuiper's board to draft seriously. Listen, I love Mel and worked with him for a lot of years. But if I don't – Mel, any of the draft gurus, and we've had Todd McShay on here on a show.
Yeah.
Love Todd. But if you're making your choice – by a fans, I'm not saying fans don't know, but if social media or a draft guru is shaping your board with all the tape you study as a general manager, head coach, then you should not be the general manager, head coach. You may lean on him and say, man, I spent time with, what do you lean on him for insight. But if you're making decisions based on a social media or draft guru's draft board, just like I'm not taking – some guy rates him a five-star high school player until I see him with my own eyes and do it. I don't really give a shit what somebody at 24/7 says about him. If I'm in charge, I'll take into it if they've said it five times in a row and five players, and those players have worked out. That's where you create the value as a scouting service, as a draft guru, as a recruiting guru. You don't get it by saying, hey, man, I just follow it because, you know, I think he said it. I just ask you this. Is a draft guru studying more than you are? And if they are, you're in the wrong job, even though there's really good draft gurus. Sorry, not my style.
For sure. All right, bet of the day. Number 13, Alabama takes on number 11, Vandy. 4.5-point favorite is Vandy. This is going to be another good defensive battle. Last night's Houston, Texas Tech game did not disappoint. That was a fun watch from start to finish. It was physical. It was Houston comes out. Now, I'm glad I did not bet the game, because Texas Tech hits that last-minute three, and I think I would have taken the points, so I would have been fine, and it would have helped me, but I wasn't sure. But who you got tonight, Bama versus Vandy?
Well, Segs, in that game last night, what I believe the under was one. It was 142, the over-under, right?
I have 143.5. 143 okay, and a half.
But I bet the for me, I bet the under in the game. Because what I say, I said in the 60s, one team may get to 70. The final score was, I think, 69-65, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, with that last second throw.
I didn't, and I told you that I wouldn't touch the points in that game because of both of them. So Houston, but you knew you were going to get defense and you knew you were going to get an entertaining game. It turned out almost exactly like we thought it would.
Yeah.
So I did take the under in the game.
I would take Vandy.
Tonight? Oh, I'm sorry, Six. Tonight? Yeah. You know what? I like what Vandy said. Is that Vandy's doing some things in a couple sports. Give me Alabama in the game. I think Bama can hang in there. So you're going to lay those points. Give me those points. You said 4 or 4.5?
4.5.
Yeah, I'll take the hook. Give me Alabama within a 3-point shot.
All right. I like it. College basketball has been fun, but football is still king, and there are so many topics to hit. We didn't even hit. We'll hit tomorrow, and we'll continue talking about this Damon Williams, LSU, Washington situation, and what we find out more after the show. This NFL coaching carousel isn't slowing down anytime soon. A lot of people are already getting requests to come, and Jason Garrett got a request to come. If you're interviewing Jason Garrett, someone needs to be fired. That's all.
The key is just get on a broadcasting show and get on a Telestrator and talk a little football, and you can get a head coaching offer.
Good God, Jason Garrett got a head coaching interview. All right,
smart guy, but I think that there's probably some in the cycle that I trust a little more right now.
I can name about 46 head coaching candidates that I would take over Jason Garrett.
I don't know that I can name 45 names.
Yes. All right. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. Thanks. Talking all this.
What do you think about the porn stash?
I'm not a mustache guy.
Check me out for a second. Check me out. Wait a second.
Not a stash guy.
Let's try this one. No. How about this one?
All right. Now you're starting to. Are you starting to get back into your role where you're the gay guy?
Benchwarmers?
Benchwarmers.
Benchwarmers, one of the top 10 grossing baseball movies of all time? I got snubbed best supporting actor in a comedy role. Yeah, it was Benchwarmers. But let me hang on a second, Sakes. No? I got to come clean.
You're going to have I'm what's his a little, in the I, closet. Coming up behind
Nick
Swardson.
I gotta tell you, man, I was last night trimming up the goat, right, with electric razor, just trimming around, and I hit the wrong spot, so it patched it up, you know. Ooh, I had to shave it off.
That's
so
worst.
I said I'm gonna go with this and see if my modeling career takes off.
Nobody's
you know what I feel fault. Like I feel Nobody's like an eight you know what I feel like a retired 1970s or 80s cop.
Yeah, like a detective.
Fair? Yeah, exactly. That's what I feel like.
Are you going to keep it?
Maybe a little. Have you seen me, dude? Look at me.
Go to the store, get Just for Men dark, dark brown or black.
You know what I might do tomorrow? I might go jet black on my mustache for the show tomorrow. Maybe I'll do that to see, well, what the response is. I mean, really,
our viewership,
the moneymaker, through the roof. Oh, they'll go through the roof.
Crazy.
They'll say actor, supermodel, and
Bailey's going to be like, guys, we're at zero. Nobody is watching.
The only time in history YouTube and Rumble lost viewers.
People are getting rid of the app.
The moral of the story is don't fuck up with your electric razor on your goat, or you end up looking like a 70s cop in a porn show.
I don't trust anybody around my beard. And
it's Sakes.
Don't do it. They are leaving the show. I can see the
Have
numbers.
You seen me?
Yeah.
You can't screw up the moneymaker though, Sakes. See the forest through the trees. Okay.
You did.
I really did, actually.
Tanya's probably pissed.
Oh, I think the whole world's pissed too. Yeah. No doubt. Because I mean, The truth of the matter is, I might either darken or clean shave and look like we're that weird. You know, when somebody shaves, you like, dude, you look weird, man. So maybe, I don't know. Hell, we'll see if a bunch of advertisers
tomorrow
on the modeling side after today. Revlon.
Tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, Sean may be clean shaven. He may have a jet black just mustache.
Yes.
Find out at 1 p.m.
And
Eastern.
After you hook the goats to Hollywood, put me on the script. There you go.
Don't do it. All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
I'm Pave, Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.